Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Space engineering is space exploration with Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black, Axiom. There are, to my memory, four commercial space stations now under construction or proposed construction at some point. Axiom is one of them. Bob, a very good evening to you. How's Axiom doing? Good evening.
Good evening, John. Well, there was a piece of news this week from Axiom and NASA. NASA has been in negotiation with Axiom. Axiom's plan for a space station is to launch a series of modules attached to ISS, one module attached to ISS, further modules attached to that module, and then at a certain point when the space station is sufficiently has enough capability, it would detach from ISS and fly independently. So the noise here is that they've rearranged the order of the modules they're going to launch. And the reason they're doing it is based on NASA's request. The original plan was to launch the habitable module first, attach it to ISS, and use NASA's facilities to make that occupiable. But that would mean that they would not detach the station until they got their power payload module launched and attached. And so they could not detach as early. And NASA has said to them, listen, we want you to be able to attach to a station as early as possible. And I'll get to the reason why in a second. And so they've reordered it so that they're going to launch the basically service module. It's one you can enter, but it's a service module that provides power and other services to the station itself. They'll put that up first, then the habitable module. And that way, when the habitable module arrives, they could detach the two of them separately, or at least sooner than planned. The reason why NASA doesn't say, but we can, anyone who's listened to your show, John, and me talk about this, it has to do with Russian Zvezda module, I'm sure. NASA doesn't want to have to wait until 2030 to separate the Axiom station. There's a risk involved. They'd like to get them away from ISS as soon as possible because the Zvezda module has stress fractures. It's causing the air leak. And the simple fact is that NASA is worried about a catastrophic failure. They still use that module. They still dock to that module, but they don't dock to the most fragile docking port. And there's a real concern that, you know, if that module goes, the ISS is in trouble. And so NASA wants to get this separated as quick as possible. So that's the decision Axiom has made. It will mean their astronauts on their station will want later. It could mean that this decision that NASA is going to funnel them more money to pay for the early loss of income. I don't know that, but that's speculation, but that's the deal.
Spaceports. There's a bill in Congress for a spaceport that is not a spaceport. How's that, Bob?
This is just pork, and this bill will not pass. But a local Republican congressman, Dale Strong, introduced a bill this week to funnel money basically to Huntsville International Airport, which he represents, to have it upgraded to be able to take space vehicles to land. It's an airport. And granted, Dream Chaser from Sierra Space, they have signed an agreement with Huntsville to land Dream Chaser there. This is essentially pork. This is not going to be part of any bill. Congress will close up in another week or so, hopefully, and this bill will never see the light of day. But it's a photo op, and it's a photo op saying, I'm going to bring pork to your district. And I think people have to start telling congressmen this is not the way to do things. This is not necessary, and we certainly shouldn't be spending money at Huntsville International Airport.
More information about SLS and Orion, and the information is pointing in a happy direction. How's that, Bob?
Yes, this has to do with how our national propaganda press operates. There has very clearly been rumors within the administrative state and the executive branch and NASA that people are beginning to lose faith with SLS and Orion and are beginning to talk about getting rid of it. And when you see a news article on a Fox station interviewing an astronaut talking about how it is too dangerous to use Orion and SLS with people on board right now because of its heat shield, it tells me that there's a campaign being put together to make it acceptable for the politicians in D.C. to cancel SLS and Orion. In other words, they'll start to do articles like this. And there was an article, and it was former NASA astronaut Charles Cannata making a big deal about how this is the same culture from Challenger and Columbia, where they want to meet schedule rather than safety concerns by launching people on the Orion with the heat shield that we cannot trust. And he says we shouldn't be doing this. And so this is just how putting ammunition in the public's eye to make it easier for congressmen to go along with the cancellation of SLR.
That was Apollo Good 1, time. Right, Bob? Do I remember correctly?
No. You're the Challenger, and the key was the culture in NASA when they launched the shuttles, Challenger and Columbia. In both cases, NASA was not willing to look at engineering issues that were significant and dangerous, and because they weren't willing, because they wanted to meet schedule, and because they wanted to meet schedule, people died, and that's what Cannata is talking about. We're doing that again with Orion. We're going to put people on a capsule with known problems because we think we can cover those known problems just to meet a schedule. And he says that's a bad culture. We shouldn't do it, and that's just putting ammunition in the public's eye for canceling Orion and SLS.
The Starliner crew is now scheduled to come down another March or April. What does that mean for ISS?
This is an interesting story. Most of the press has been focusing on the fact that this extends the Starliner crew's stay in space. They're, quote, stranded an extra 2 months. What happened is NASA shuffled the schedule for the next crew launch. They have to launch that crew first before that next crew can come down, which includes the Starliner people. But the reason NASA shuffled it, I think, is a more interesting story. The reason they shuffled this schedule is that SpaceX is building a new manned Dragon capsule. This would be the fifth capsule in their fleet. And that manned capsule, they want to make sure it's ready, and they want to give SpaceX a little extra time to get it ready. And so that meant they had to delay the launch by about a few weeks, a month. And so that's the story, which is interesting to me. SpaceX is making another capsule. That means SpaceX is anticipating a lot more business down the road and needs another manned capsule to fulfill it. And that ties into the next story, John. I'll go right to it. One of the other space station companies, VAST, this is the only one that's taken no NASA money, it hopes to launch its Haven 1 single module station next year and quickly have it occupied by people for 30 days. Well, it also wants to do tourist trips to ISS, the same that Axiom has done. And NASA has a limited number of the docking slots available for these tourist trips. It has two that it's put out for people if they want to use it. And Axiom has put in a bid for those two slots. Well, VAST has also put in a bid for those two slots, and it has now signed a deal with SpaceX for those two tourist missions. Obviously, this means SpaceX needs more capsules. It also means VAST is trying to compete with Axiom for those tourist missions, and one or the other is going to get it. More likely, what the NASA will do is it'll cut the baby in half and give each company one of the slots. But this is an example of SpaceX getting a lot more business, needing more capsule, VAST needing wanting to make business. It's the tourism industry in space, John, growing.
FAA still being obedient. They've issued a license. This must be very hard for them.
This is all a result of what a difference an election makes. The FAA has done a lot of things since early November that indicates it recognizes its red tape over the last 3 years during the Biden administration is not going to be looked favorably on by the Trump administration. And so not only has it, started committees to look at how to streamline things and has already started to streamline its regulatory red tape, but it proudly announced this week that it has already issued the launch license for SpaceX's seventh test launch of Starship Super Heavy from Boca Chica. SpaceX is targeting mid or early January for this launch. And FAA has released the license weeks in advance, and they're proud. We're moving ahead. We're not going to make it wait till the last minute. We're like, that's what we do. Well, it's not what they've done. They haven't done that for 3 years. They've made SpaceX wait to the last very last second before they issue their license, and they make them wait months beforehand. But this time they moved up and did it early, and I think it's because they recognize the new administration is not going to look favorably on their delays, and so they're not delaying anymore. And or as I put it more bluntly on Behind the Black, what they're really saying is, please don't fire us. I hope Trump doesn't fall for that. A lot of house cleaning has to happen at the FAA.
Bob, I'm worried about the creatures because Starship and Super Heavy come back and they break the sound barrier, and that's noisy. All those creatures, do we know what kind of risk they're in?
There's no risk. No risk in the sonic booms, John. But there is an interesting story coming from Texas. Texas's Commission on Environmental Quality had initially blocked SpaceX launches because of its the deluge system at when it launches Super Heavy Starship. That deluge system is designed to prevent damage to the launch pad. They use potable drinking water in that, which means it's not going to do any harm to anything. And the amount of water they use is significantly less than what falls when simple ordinary rainfall. But these activist groups have been trying to block SpaceX, and the Texas Commission realized this is kind of silly, so it gave SpaceX a long but temporary clearance to launch from Boca Chica. Well, those activists, who do not represent very many people, and in some cases they are made-up organizations, they have now sued the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality for giving that permission, and they're going to try to block future SpaceX launches this way. I don't think they'll succeed, but it's an example of lawfare, Giant.
Bob, to our knowledge, do we have who these people are? Is there a list?
We know there are three main groups that have been filing all these lawsuits. One is called Save RGV, which is Rio Grande Valley. And as far as I can tell, they always interview the same two or three people. I don't think there's more than 10 people. There's another group it's an Indian tribe that claims it was in Texas. But Robert Pratt, who does a radio show in Texas, has told me that that tribe doesn't exist anymore. And when it did exist, it existed in Mexico, not Texas. So that's kind of a fraud. They just want to get the Native American name in there to make it seem like they're hurting the poor minorities. And the third group is something called the Justice Network, which is really just a made-up umbrella above these other two groups to make it seem like there's more of them. And it's all fake. It's really all fake, John.
I understand. I'm puzzling. What
well, yeah, you wanted more details, and I'm giving them to you. The data we know about them is that they really are not much of anything, and they don't represent many, many people in the area.
I wonder what's driving it, though. Is there money? We'll watch.
There's money there, but we don't know where it's coming from. Yeah. I keep asking local. I keep in on Behind the Black. I keep asking local journalists. There are any left to do some research to find out where they get their money. That's a question that each of these organizations should be asked every single time. Where you get your money? Who's backing you? Is it local? Where's it coming from? No one's asking these questions. Those are the questions that good reporters should be asking. Right?
Japanese rocket boosters have bad luck. Another one. What happened?
Well, this is actually not an entirely bad story, John, because the previous failures mostly came from the space agency, the government agency, and they just don't build things very well or very cost-effective. This is different. This is a private company in Japan, the very first, the rocket startup. It's called Space One. It has a rocket it calls Keros. They tried to launch at the beginning of this year and had a launch failure mere seconds after launch. They tried again this past weekend and during this week, and they managed to launch. They got it up about 90 seconds, and then they had some kind of problem. It was not flying straight, and so they had to terminate the mission, self-destruct. And so, yes, it's a failure, but this is a startup. It's a private company trying to build a low-cost rocket to make money, and Japan has not been good at this, so that they're doing it is really good, and let's hope they have their own private spaceport, by the way, in Japan. And so let's hope they get some success. They have some big backers from Japan, major companies, so I think they've got a future, John.
ESA is handing out money. What's Vega?
This Avio is a rocket company that's based in Italy. It builds the Vega C rocket. And the European Space Agency has given this company, this Italian company, three different contracts. Two, to upgrade its facilities for the Vega C. But the third contract is more significant. It is a launch contract for further launches using Avio's rocket. And what's interesting is that the European Space Agency did not go through Ariane Space to do this. Ariane Space is basically going away. Why go through Ariane Space to get an Avio rocket? Just buy the rocket from Avio directly, and that's what they're doing. They're getting rid of this middleman government agency, Ariane Space, and Europe is now beginning to buy its needed launch services from private companies. It's better for Avio, it's better for the European Space Agency, and it's better for capitalism and the industry in Europe, John. That's a good thing.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.